You're listening to STP Radio.
Hello, and welcome back to STP Radio. I'm your host, Smita Mishra, and I'm excited to conduct another interview with one of the upcoming speakers at our Spring 2017 STPCon conference. In case you have not signed up yet, STPCon will be in Phoenix, Arizona from March 14th through 17th this year. And if you reach out to me, I can share a discount code for your registration. Be sure to check out www.stpcon.com, where you can learn more about the conference, the speakers, our special events, and our conference pricing. You can also follow us on Twitter and Instagram. Look for Software Test Pro on both of these networks. So let's meet our guest for today. Today we have Damien Synaginos with us. Is that how you take your name, Damien?
That is, but I sometimes mispronounce my own name, so it's fine.
Thank you. So Damien started testing software on purpose and for money in 1993. Since then, he has helped build better software and build software better using various methods and tools in numerous roles at many companies in diverse industries. So over the past 10 years, Damien has focused primarily on teaching and leading testers and improving processes. Currently, he runs his own training and consulting company, Ineffable Solutions, specializing in IT and focusing on testing. Damien also enjoys performing improv comedy, golfing, playing poker, and basketball, gaming, acting, cartooning, and spend time with his family. God, you do a lot. So, welcome to STP Radio, Damien.
Thank you very much for having me. It's good to chat with you again.
Yeah, so it's great to have you with us. And tell us a little more about you that I may not have covered and how you actually got into testing.
Well, that was a pretty good synopsis. I appreciate it. Let's see. I'll give you a little bit more detail. At 19, I dropped out of college to begin software testing at a company called CompuServe, which some may know or may not know. It was one of the earlier ways to get online. And I was hired directly into their quality assurance department. So I began my software testing career at a pretty tender age. And as you said during the introduction, I spent the next 23, actually this month is my 24th year anniversary of being in software testing.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much. I still have my original hire letter. I like to pull that out every so often and then read it to remind myself where I came from and how much I've progressed. But yeah, as you said, I've been at a lot of different companies. In fact, I think that that's one of the things that's a strength and perhaps separates me in some ways from others is my diverse experience being in an airline and in retail and education and insurance and banking at companies as small as 30 employees and as large as 40,000 employees and being full-time and consultant and working with on and offshore and using all sorts of different tools and methods and not just hearing about it, but actually being in the midst of all these different contexts. It's actually great to have that type of diverse experience, and I think it's helpful to me as I move forward.
Absolutely. So before we get started, Damien, I would really like to talk a little bit more about your acting skills.
Okay.
I learned that you have also written a play and you've been doing acting and improvisation for a long time.
Yeah.
So I would like you to tell everyone how you developed this interest in acting and what have you done through the years related to it?
All right. I like this. About 10 or 11 years ago, a coworker, I'll set some context here, a coworker invited me to see their graduation ceremony from an improvisation class, comedy improvisation. And the ceremony itself was a public performance. That's how you graduate from an improv class. They set you up to perform in front of a live audience. Mm-hmm. So I enjoyed the performance and they poked and prodded me and said, you should try this yourself. So I did. And I trained in improv for about a year. I myself had a graduation ceremony, and following that, I helped found an improv group, and we performed for several years, and then I joined another improv group, and we'd done a lot of comedy clubs and corporate engagements and outdoor festivals, and I've done hundreds of improv shows.
Wow.
After being in the improv community, you get to know – there's a lot of crossover with the local theater community, so I got to know a lot of local actors and playwrights. And I became curious about that world. So eventually one of my friends through the community wrote a play and cast me in it. It was a short play, series of short plays called The Twinight Zone, which was kind of an irreverent, silly take on the Twilight Zone 60s television series. And what we did is we reimagined several of the classic episodes, but with a funny spin on it. And I got to portray in that one, I think I was a pilot and I was a TV mechanic and I got to use different accents. And it was a blast getting to learn lines, seeing how a play is directed and produced, all the behind the scenes stuff was really fascinating to me. That led to a second performance or a second play I was cast in, and then eventually a third by a very well-known short playwright named Mark Harvey Levine out of California. He has over 1,400 different plays produced around the world, and he cast me in a drama. So that was a little different, getting to practice acting in a dramatic setting. That was a little different and neat to experience. Eventually, that experience led me to wonder, now that I've practiced acting, could I do something else? Could I write my own play? So there was a local play festival asking for short plays, and I created one called Effect and Cause. I'm very interested in causality, what causes things to happen and why. And so I kind of imagined the butterfly effect, something small that leads to something larger, that leads to something larger. And what I did was turn it around, and I had the play run in reverse. So the play starts at the end and progresses backwards towards the beginning. All the actors move backwards on stage. Every line that they say would actually be the line preceding it if it were to run forward. And the audience doesn't know this, so they're kind of confused at the beginning, but as they realize what's going on, they become kind of fascinated and
wow.
And interested. So it was a very complex play. I had a lot of fun writing it, and it actually got produced in several different cities around the U.S. and even reviewed on television and newspaper, selected as one of the best of the festival. So that was another little check mark I got to put off. I can call myself a playwright, and it was a fun experience, and I learned a lot from it.
That's very interesting, actually. And as complicated as it sounds, I'm sure you must have done it easily. So, on a similar topic, you have a workshop with us called Improv Your Requirements. It's actually improve with E in brackets.
That's right.
And many people watch improvisational comedy. So it's a very popular thing to be part of, but few are actually participants. And I like the way you integrate this into a presentation on how you can improve your work in the testing field. And I particularly like that one of your takeaways is simply fun. So can you like give us a little snapshot of your workshop and tell us what it is and what you wish to share with the audience?
Sure. I've been going to conferences for quite some time. A few years ago, I began to speak at conferences and corporations. And very often what I encountered was similar in that it was the same type of fare, the same type of offering. Sometimes very good, very knowledgeable individuals presenting very valuable information, but not always that engaging. And so I decided if I was going to enter this world of public speaking and professional speaking, I wanted to make sure that I was engaging and fun as well, so that what I was doing was not just valuable, but it had another layer as well. And so I thought, how could I do that? And I realized that my background in improvisation had a lot of correlations to other areas of my life, such as testing. And a lot of the things that I learned during my training for improv and a lot of the skills and tips and tricks that I use on stage, the heuristics that I use during a performance are actually very applicable to testing. So the very first presentation I made was called Improv Your Testing, where I used, we call it applied improvisation, where you apply the principles and tenets of improvisation to another domain, and I applied those to testing. Soon after, I realized that those same principles were also very applicable to a variety of other domains, such as communication and requirements and sales, and it's actually very difficult to find an area that they're not applicable to because they're fundamental skills that deal with people, and I believe that beneath all the products and processes and projects, it's all about the people. So when I created this workshop called Improv Your Requirements, I used some of the same tenets and principles for improv, and this time I drew correlations to requirements elicitation, specification, consumption, like a tester might do as they're trying to exercise these requirements, or a developer might consume them as they're trying to use this model of a product to build the product. And again, there's a lot of audience interaction as I describe these improvisational principles. I also want people to experience and understand them by doing. So I asked for volunteers to come up, and after explaining a particular improvisational principle, the volunteers will help me demonstrate it so people can actually see and learn by doing.
I've attended a version of it earlier, so it's totally fun. So
thank you.
I'm really sure audience will love it.
Thank you very much.
You recently started your own company, Ineffable Solutions, right?
Yes.
So you are full-time into it, or you work otherwise too?
That's correct. Yeah, I started it 4 months ago, and that's my job now.
Wow. Because I myself started my own company in 2010, and I know the struggles of being a startup and getting it off the ground.
Indeed.
So tell me about your new company and your role and what you hope to achieve in the first few years of it.
Sure. As I said, a few years ago, I began to speak at conferences and corporations, and I was primarily doing it out of pocket, paying for my own way, my own accommodations, getting no type of compensation. My motivator was that I wanted to give back. There was a lot of reasons, but some of the primary ones were I wanted to give back to the community. I felt that I was doing good, which was very motivating to me at this point in my life, feeling like I'm having a positive impact and making a good difference. And mm-hmm. So this is how I originally got involved. Eventually, that started to lead to some compensation and getting paid and getting offered to, get a hotel or a travel compensated. And since I really enjoyed it, I liked doing it, I felt that I was doing good, useful, valuable things, I wondered if I could make this my full-time job. And so I quit 4 months ago. I started my own company, Ineffable Solutions. And primarily, I'm focusing on becoming a professional public speaker, trainer, workshop mm-hmm. facilitator, keynote, and doing what I love and helping people learn and grow themselves.
Very nice. Very nice. In fact, I looked at your site, and one of the most interesting things I found was something that I'm going to probably add into my site also sometime is talk to a tester. I mean, I really like how you put your appointments there and somebody can book you for 30 minutes on Skype and just pay you half in advance and mm-hmm. get started with you. That's really interesting.
Yeah, I found that I was doing that frequently, not just frequently, but a lot of time was spent advising people on their jobs, on their testing. And I thought, I wonder if I can make money off this so I can do good at the same time as making a living and feeding my family.
Super.
And so that's how Talk to a Tester was kind of born.
A lot of consultants are going to learn from you on this. that's really great. So you also have a session called Workflow That Works. Mm-hmm. It honestly doesn't matter what approach or methodology you are doing. Everyone who works in testing would be using some type of workflow to track their progress.
Yes.
And I like your opening sentence of the description for this session, which simply says opened, in progress, resolved, closed, looks familiar. So, and literally, I'm sure that anyone who's going to attend this will be very familiar to them. I mean, it's highly likely. But the struggles we have is whether or not this tells us enough about how things are going. So what is the major message and takeaways that you hope to convey to the attendees in this session?
Sure. This particular session is more of an experience report about something that I had a hand in developing, and mm-hmm. it worked for me. And so I'm presenting just an experience report based on how things went for me. As I said previously, I've been at a lot of different companies, seen a lot of different contexts and processes and procedures. While they were all very different, there were also similarities. One of those similarities is that every company had some type of work that they had to have done, different types of work. For testers, sometimes it was executing tests or designing tests. For developers, it might have been trying to resolve problems. Everyone has their own different types of work, things that need to be done, tasks. And very often, those companies need to figure out the status and state of those work. They need to track the progress of that work and find out who's doing what and who's backed up and who has extra cycles and what's the current status of the work. And very often, I found that there were problems, that they weren't getting the answers they needed, and you could track those problems back to an inadequate workflow. So I began to examine and research these inadequacies, find out what was going wrong. I'd looked at a lot of exemplars, workflows not only that I had experienced, but what were out there in the wild, searching the web and researching. And while they were very, very similar, many of them had the same inadequacies, just like I have at the beginning, opened, in progress, resolved, and closed. And so then I set about trying to design a workflow that addressed those inadequacies. And I ended up implementing the very first version of this back in 06. And it worked okay. As time went on, it got massaged and changed and got better and better until it's still in use today, as far as I know. And I have also taken the things that I've learned from that and implemented the same workflow at two other companies. And it helped them better track and report the progress and status of their work items. So it may be that this is beneficial and useful to others as well, hearing my story.
I'm actually sure about that because I remember having seen a timesheet or time tracker of yours in one of the trainings that James Buck gave us. Mm-hmm. And he actually opened the Excel sheet and he showed us how you had tracked minute by minute work of a tester. Like, what does a tester really do throughout their day and how much of actually testing work they do? So it was like, it was an eye-opener. Out of 9 hours, 8 hours that you are staying in at office, what do you really do and how much of testing work you are really doing?
Yeah, that was a very, very granular experience, sitting behind a tester and shadowing them and marking down exactly what actions they took. Mm-hmm. This particular workflow that I'm presenting is at a higher level. It's very dynamic, very malleable, and it could be used to track really any type of thing that needs to be done and be allow you to better report on where it is in the process, who owns it, what's the result of the action, all sorts of things.
Awesome. Looking forward to that.
Thank you.
I have a quick other question on STP. So I'm sure you have seen the awesome program lineup now that we have for this STPCon. As you look over the keynotes, sessions, workshops, what are some of the things that you are seeing there that interest you the most? Can you tell us what things you hope to take away from them?
Yeah. Once again, the organizers have made it very, very difficult for attendees to pick and choose what to go to because it's so packed with great content. I've looked at all the sessions being presented. I found four that I'd like to call out by name just because I find them very interesting, but these are certainly not the only four that I'm going to be attending during the conference. There's so much good stuff. The first is one of the keynotes, the test revolution with the R in parentheses. This is interesting for a couple reasons. As you know, you and I sat on the very first one of these a few years ago.
We did.
So I'm interested to see, along with Dave Hefner, I'm interested to see how this one goes. I'm not very familiar with Amber Race, but I do know Henrik and Eric, and I have a lot of respect for them. And so I'm very interested to hear their perspective on the different topics that they'll be speaking on.
Oh, Amber is a brilliant, brilliant tester. And she's been coming to STP for a few years, and she's an awesome speaker. She speaks, I believe, more on the REST API, RESTful APIs testing. Mm-hmm. And she's technically very, very competent.
Oh, great. Well, I can't wait to hear her speak as part of this panel.
You love her, yes.
Another one that piqued my interest was our very own Mike Lyles. He's talking about that one of his is the drive-through is not always faster. Mm-hmm. First off, I love to hear Mike speak. He always has insight that I find valuable. Another interesting thing about his session was kind of the fact that oftentimes what you think is the right or fast way isn't. And that very much plays into the idea with the workflow talk that I'm presenting, that a lot of these companies use a workflow that's out of the box, whether it's on whiteboards or Jira or whatever their particular process and tool set that they use. They use the out-of-the-box methodology or some subtle nuance of it, and they think that that's the best way because they simply haven't considered other ways. So part of Mike's message, I think, plays into my own workshop, so I'm interested to hear what Mike has to say about that.
That's an awesome choice, I would say. And why I would say that is because I know that a lot of people put in a lot of research into their work, just like you have done on your workflow session. Over the years, you have improved it. I know for sure that Mike has been working on this topic for a long time, and he's in fact probably coming out with a book on the same topic, and he's researched it thoroughly well. So that's I love papers and presentations which have been actually worked upon really hard. So it's really a treat to see such things.
And I think that the audience can tell as well that it wasn't just thrown together haphazardly. It was the presenter really knows their material. The other two that seemed interesting to me is there's one by Jess Lancaster, 40 of the best free testing tools in 60 minutes. I actually saw a version of this talk in Columbus at QA or the Highway, and it was wonderful. You talk about jamming content and value into a short amount of time. It doesn't get much better than this.
Wow.
This is absolutely a practical, you will walk away with things that you can sit down at your desk and immediately have be better at your job for having heard what Jess has presented. And it's a very fun, engaging talk as well. And the last one that I thought was very interesting is one called Technical Skills Are Important, Human Skills Are Critical, Lessons for Excelling as a Tester. It's by someone named Rajesh Mather. I've known of Rajesh for a while. I'm getting to know him better recently, and I'm finding a lot of respect for him. And so I'm interested to hear him speak in this capacity as a presenter, but also because the topic is very interesting to me, where he's focusing less on the technical skills and more on the human characteristics and behaviors, which I think are lacking yet terribly important.
Absolutely. Good choices, both Jess's and Rajesh's. I know that the whole program is good, but definitely very good choices. Your good recommendations.
Thanks.
All right. So I'm going to throw a bouncer on you. You know, bouncer in cricket is a ball that you just throw and the batsman doesn't know how to play it. So,
okay. I hope it doesn't
bouncer,
hit me.
Totally. Yeah, this is totally bouncer. And this has totally come out of our conversation because I heard that you wanted to be a keynote speaker. You want to lead the teams. You want to help people improve. So there's this question that came to my mind and it's not on my list, but what do you think this testing industry and our testing community overall, if you could just think of top 1, 2, 3 things, is really lacking? Like if we really did this, maybe our community would be much more effective or much more productive or much more happier, much more earning.
Mm-hmm. So I think that there's three. One of the reasons I mentioned Rajesh's session was because it focuses on the people. Similarly, much of the content that I've put together in my various talks and offerings that I speak about are less focused on tools and process and more about people and characteristics and skills that people can have to help them better do their jobs, whether they are a tester, a business analyst, a plumber, a baker, a ringmaster at the circus. These are basic human qualities and skills that I think makes everyone better. So to that end, I would say three things that I think are currently lacking that every tester and really most people could stand to improve. The first is communication. I have a couple different workshops that I do on communication. I think that being able to do your job well is only part of the equation. Mm-hmm. If you need to, in any way, shape, or form, communicate results to other people, then you need to do so effectively so that your intended message is actually conveyed as you intended and it's not perceived in a different way. It's all about moving your thought bubble from your head into someone else's head as accurately as possible. So I think communication is one area that people should study and learn more about. Mm-hmm. Another one I think is particularly important for testers as well as humanity as a whole is empathy. I believe that if people could learn to focus on each other and understand how people think and why they think what they think and how they feel, that would allow us, for instance, as testers to better understand our customers and our various people that we serve as we provide and communicate this information. If we can understand them better, we may be able to better serve their needs. So empathy is very important. And finally, I think that curiosity is a characteristic that I'm not sure if you can develop curiosity or if you're born with it, but it's something that I try and look for if I'm interviewing testers, if I'm evaluating a mentee to start working with. I want to find out what drives them, what motivates them, how much curiosity do they have about the world, about their job, their craft. Because if you're curious, that will drive a lot of other things, such as practice and dedication and time spent becoming better and improving yourself. So I would say empathy, communication, and curiosity.
That makes total sense. Thank you for actually not getting hit by the ball. You actually did good. Thank you.
What's the equivalent to a home run in cricket? Did I get
yes.
one?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, you got – it's a six, so you get six runs.
Okay.
Great. So I have one final question for you before we close this. You have attended STPCon several times in past. What is this one thing that you would like to tell the new visitors to the conference for what they should attend it and what they can expect there?
Let's see. That's a good question. I read something recently from someone else that was asked a very similar question. What would you recommend to people that are attending the conference? And very frequently, the answer is, hey, don't forget about hallway conversations. Well, I'm not going to answer that because I've heard that answer so many times. Another very common question is, if you're going with a group of people from the same company, spread out so you can get as much coverage and content as possible. That's another frequent answer that I've heard, but this person gave a different spin on it, and I like their angle, so I'm going to somewhat copy their answer. The answer was, if you're going with a group of people, don't necessarily spread yourself out. Go to what interests you. Mm-hmm. Because getting different perspectives from multiple people in the same room can have just as much or perhaps even greater value. If you're attending a talk just because you want to try and spread yourself over and get as much content, but it doesn't apply to you, it's not interesting to you, there's a good chance it won't have as much value. So even if you're not with a group of people, try and attend talks that are truly interesting to you. There's certainly something to be said about being well-rounded and spreading your interests and learning new things. However, sometimes it also makes sense, I think, to go and learn about something you're already interested in at a deeper level or from a different perspective. So I might suggest that for once, instead of trying to attend something new and different that you might not have encountered before, maybe go attend a talk that you know a lot about and hear what somebody else has to say about it. It may help refine your own thoughts, and it may give you a different insight that you didn't have before.
That makes sense. I'm really hoping everybody does attend it and like it. So, Damien, thanks for your time today. And we are really looking forward to seeing you in Phoenix.
Thank you very much. I'm looking forward to it.
All right. Well, everyone, I'm Smita Mishra, and this concludes our episode for STP Radio. Thanks, everyone, for listening. Stay tuned for more episodes coming soon. And if you haven't signed up yet for the conference, get out there and register. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to this episode of STP Radio, and stay tuned for more episodes. Learn more about the conference being held in Phoenix, Arizona, March 14th through 17th by visiting stpcon.com.